Let's pray together. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Almighty Father, thank you for your great gift to us of your Word, the Bible. We ask that this evening the sword of your Spirit would be active among us as we listen and as we speak to one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So that's Ephesians 5, starting at verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
How would you describe your experience living as a Christian? A joy, a challenge, a burden, an adventure? Well, over the last few weeks, we've been exploring the Bible's teaching on sexuality and gender, issues which dominate the cultural agenda and no doubt make it difficult to live publicly as a Christian. The reality is our colleagues, friends and course mates probably think Christianity is boring, prudish and outdated, especially in the areas of sexual ethics and self-fulfillment. And if we're honest with ourselves, there may be times when we might be tempted to think the same. Well, in our passage tonight, Paul agrees that the issues of sexual expression, self-fulfillment, and true identity are the issues that we need to be thinking about. And as we look at God's word together tonight, it is my prayer that all of us will leave more excited and more joyful about living the Christian life. A life living out our true identity, a life which pleases God and brings light to a darkened world. Before we unpack the whole passage, I want to just pull out one key verse for us. And I think this verse summarizes for us the big idea for us to take away, and I hope, therefore, we'll frame the rest of our discussions this evening. Look down with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Our key verse, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I'll say that again. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul is explaining to the Ephesian Christians that a massive transformation has taken place in their lives. He says, Ephesians, your whole lives used to be defined by darkness. It was who you were, darkness. But now, in the Lord, by his gracious work of salvation, you are light. Not just in the light, but you are light. Your very person defined by light. And so with this gracious transformation comes the outworking of grace.
where he says, walk as children of light. The pattern is, you were, you are, so walk. I hope this evening many of us would call ourselves Christians. And if that's the case, then this is the same transformation that has taken place in your life as you put your trust in Jesus, his death and resurrection. And so God has transferred you from darkness to light. I realize, though, in a room this size, there may be many here who are just looking into Christian things. And if that's the case, then this is a wonderful evening for you to be here, to listen in. And I hope you'll start to realize why it is Christians behave the way they do. In particular, why it is they have certain views about sex and self-fulfillment. Last week, Drew very helpfully showed us how thinking drives behavior. If you aren't here, do go online and have a listen to that talk. But he explained from Ephesians that the way we think inevitably will affect the way we behave. Well, here in chapter 5, verse 8, we have it in just one line. You were, you are your thinking, so walk your behavior. Paul says, remember this gracious transformation God has brought about in you and allow this graciously transform the way you live. And so we're going to do just that in our first discussion time around our tables. And we'll have about 10 minutes for this. Please draw your prayers and conversations to a close there. Great. Well, having seen the principle of the passage and reminded ourselves of God's gracious transformation, now let's see what that looks like in practice. In chapter 5, verse 3 to 7, Paul says, allow God's gracious transformation graciously transform the way you talk. Our first outworking of God's grace, talk as children of light. Talk as children of light. Well, following the pattern of verse 8, Paul wants the Ephesians to remember the gracious transformation God has brought about in their lives. And he does this by giving two sets of three actions. Have a listen as I read verse 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Two sets of three actions. But we need to ask, why these actions? Why sexual immorality and self-indulgence? Are they just random actions or ones that Paul is particularly interested in? Well, no, it turns out they're not random at all. You'll have seen in our discussions that Paul has in mind chapter 2, where he previously laid out the gracious transformation God has worked in them. These passions of the flesh, sexual immorality, these desires of the body, impurity, and these desires of the mind, covetousness, are what once defined the Ephesians' way of life. And it doesn't take much to realize that they still define the world we live in. The city is consumed by sex and pleasure and money. And as we live our lives in London, we're bombarded by messages of sexual expression and self-fulfillment. Well, the Ephesians were once children of wrath, sons of disobedience. But now, by the grace of God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, they're called saints, children of light. Darkness to light. It's the ultimate before and after makeover photo. Remember God's gracious transformation. And so continuing the pattern of verse 8, you were, you are, so talk. God's gracious transformation graciously transforms the way we talk. Paul is saying that because God has graciously transformed you, those actions which once defined your way of life no longer have a place in your life. In fact, Paul says, don't even talk about them. Now, I think that's quite surprising because we might at this point expect Paul to lay out all of the do's and don'ts for Christians. But instead, he says that this transformation should be seen first and foremost in the way Christians talk. Did you notice how tightly linked all of these actions were to the way we speak? Look again at verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. Or verse 4. Foolish talk, crude joking, thanksgiving. Or verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. These actions are not part of our transformed identity, so Paul says don't even talk like they are. And this makes sense if we then remember the context of Ephesians, that Paul has revealed to us that God has a grand plan, which is to unite all things in Christ, a plan which is nearly complete. And the only step left is for us to speak the truth in love to one another, to speak truth. So to make light of sin, to joke around about sexual immorality, or to speak flippantly about impurity is simply out of place. I was at a barbecue with some non-Christian friends last weekend, and their conversation was just littered with sexual references and innuendo. Now, before you pass comment on the type of people I hang out with, just realize that these conversations were nothing out of the ordinary. It's simply that they live in darkness. So the way they speak naturally reflects this. What Paul is saying here in these verses means that Christian conversation will be markedly different. Those old ways no longer have a place in Christian discussion. Now, the specifics aren't actually spelled out for us, but it might look like Christians not gossiping about the latest affair or hookup in the office, or refusing to speak glibly about impure actions, or maybe being more careful in the way they speak so as not to arouse covetousness in others. A few months ago, I was speaking to a great Christian man about his Easter holiday, and he spoke very carefully, but being nosy, I probed further. And it turned out that he'd spent a week in his family's private ski chalet in France. But for the sake of those around him, he spoke carefully so as not to arouse covetousness in others. This wasn't false humility. This was concern for others. Christian conversation reflects the gracious transformation God has brought about in us. And so this also means that things like innuendo and smutty jokes are just out of place. Not in a prudish way, but in a no longer who I am sort of way. What once represented the way I lived and still represents the way of the world no longer has a place in my vocabulary. And that means then it's bigger than just smutty jokes and filth. It will affect the way we speak about everything as we refuse to speak about what once represented our lives and what now represents our lives is what fills our conversation. And whenever anyone meets me for the first time, they often ask where my accent is from. Now, I was born in the Republic of Ireland, but I moved to the UK for university, and I haven't left since, although I may be kicked out after Brexit. I've moved country, and as a result, my accent has been transformed. But even more significantly, when I go to Peru to visit my wife's family, I don't tweak my accent and start sounding a bit more Hispanic. No, I change my language and I speak Spanish. To speak in my old way is out of place. It's not proper. Well, a far bigger change has taken place in the life of a Christian. We haven't just moved country. We've been raised from death to life, from darkness to light. And so the way we speak, the way we talk, changes as a natural outflowing of the transformation God has brought about in us. But there's one final twist that Paul wants us to get our heads around, and it is this. Watch out, because the way we talk as Christians impacts our understanding of the truth. It's not just that the truth impacts the way we talk, but the way we talk in turn affects our understanding of the truth. So Paul has a big warning for us in verse 5 to 7. Pick up again at verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. It seems that there are those who use empty words to deceive. And given the list of actions in verse 5 and the these things in verse 6, I take that to mean there are people who are saying, or maybe even teaching, that sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness are okay things for Christians to be engaged in. They're no big deal. Chill. People who refuse to call sin, sin, but rather deceive others about the truth of God's gracious transformation. And the results are devastating. So Paul says, don't associate with those who refuse to allow God's gracious transformation, graciously transform the way they talk. Because to talk in any other way is to deceive yourself and those around you. Watch out. Well, let's spend the next 7 or 8 minutes around our tables thinking together what it's going to look like for us to talk as children of light. Allow me to interrupt conversations there. Well, I hope you all got somewhere towards thinking about what it might look like to talk as children of light. But even if you think your table nailed it, the question now is, what are we actually to do? If thinking drives behavior, how are Christians to behave? Particularly in the areas of sexual ethics and self-fulfillment. Well, Paul now says, walk as children of light. Our second point, walk as children of light. Now, we've already thought about God's gracious transformation in verse 8, so go back and look at point 1, or if you arrive late, get the people on your table to explain it. So now, we should allow God's gracious transformation, graciously transform the way we walk, the way we live, the way we act. Let's pick up the thread again in verse 9 to 11 to see what this looks like. I'll read from verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part of the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. Well, again, it's quite surprising. Paul doesn't exhaustively list out all of the do's and don'ts for Christians, but rather he uses broad brushstrokes to paint this glorious picture of what the Christian life will look like. Well, let's think together what it's going to mean for us to walk as children of light. Well, first, it's a life walking in all, that is, in all that is good and right and true. Now, even a moment's thought on that list, and you realize that this is going to be a wonderful way to live. Let's take all that is good as an example. This means doing what is genuinely good for me personally. Doing the best thing for me. Living the good that God would have me do. Just think of those three areas that Paul mentioned earlier on. Sexual immorality. As I live out God's good design, I won't be hurting or damaging myself. I won't be enslaved or addicted to images that I shouldn't be. It will be good for me. Impurity. I could be trusted to think and to do good. I won't be a sleazebag or have wandering eyes or think impure thoughts. Goodness, not impurity. Covetousness. Good means genuinely desiring those things which are good for me. I won't be distracted by gadgets or holidays or motorhomes. Sorry, that's a personal example. And that's before we even get to how good it will be for others. They won't be hurt by my actions. I won't exploit them for my own pleasure, either physically or virtually. I won't corrupt their minds. I'll be protecting them, caring for them, loving them with a pure love, doing what is truly good for others. This isn't self-satisfaction and pleasure-seeking. This is life marked by goodness. Now, you might be thinking at the moment, yeah, I want that. I want to start living that way. Or you might even be a non-Christian and you're thinking, yeah, I want in on this. But notice the little word at the start of verse 9. For the fruit of light. Not the works of light or the actions of light, but the fruit of light. Again, these actions are only possible as we allow God's gracious transformation graciously transform the way we walk. Look now at verse 10. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This doesn't mean we have to sit around and try work out what God wants for Christmas, what might please him. No, he's already explained in the scriptures what pleases him, none more so than right here in the book of Ephesians. And that means that we have a great opportunity to reflect on the glorious transformation God has brought about in us and allow that to transform the way we live. And you know, we can do that together. We can open our Bibles and think what it might mean to please the Lord. We can discuss ideas together and seek wisdom from godly Christians. We could just sit and ponder God's grace as we make decisions in life. You know, that's why we put such a huge emphasis on time together with Bibles open. Whether it's SummerLink, a small group, a one-to-one, or food after the lunchtime or Sunday services, we're seeking to speak the truth in love to one another and to corporately, to together, be seeking to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. As Christians walk as children of light, they can genuinely please God. Now, I think that makes living the Christian life something to get really excited about. We can please the Creator God in the way we live. If you grew up in Christian circles in the late 1990s, you might remember the WWJD bracelets. They stand for What Would Jesus Do? And they were designed to help Christians live Christ-shaped lives. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go out and wear them again, although I did see a city worker wear one last week. But this passage is driving us towards thinking that way. In any and every circumstance, we should be thinking, how can I please the Lord? None more so than in the areas of sexual expression and self-indulgence. Well, Paul has one more thing to say. And just like before, it is a reminder that the way we walk affects our understanding of the truth. And in this case, it affects the understanding of those around us. As Christians live graciously transformed lives, it may be that others come to be graciously transformed. Or in other words, as Christians live Christian lives, it may be that others become Christians. Wake up, because walking affects understanding. Well, let's look carefully to see where this comes from. Pick it up in verse 11 again. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, I realize that exposing the works of darkness in others on first hearing could sound quite negative. And it might even bring to mind some firebrand preacher denouncing sinful acts on the street. But think of it like this. Just as a torch in a dark room exposes the darkness, so too children of light will inevitably expose the works of darkness in those around them. Not by calling out sin in others. It can't mean that, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do. but rather living lives marked by all that is good and right and true, they will show up the unfruitful works of darkness for what they really are. In verse 14, Paul then quotes from what is probably a well-known Christian hymn, and it's a song calling for people to respond. It seems to be a prayer for them to become Christians. Look again at verse 14. For anything that becomes visible is light. Just as the Christians were described as light back in verse 8. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's a song and a prayer for those who are in darkness, those asleep, those who are dead, to awake, to arise, and to have Christ shine on them, to be made light by the Lord Jesus. You know, as a very tiny example of this, I've started to see it happen in my extended family. As my cousins watched the Christian marriages in the family, they realized that the way they were living was not right. And to the shock of us all, they decided to get married. But more than that, slowly but surely, an opening for the gospel has been growing in them. And so, we pray verse 14 for them, that they too may become light. How wonderful would it be to see those around us be transformed by God's grace as we allow God's gracious transformation graciously transform the way we walk. Well, Paul says to the Ephesians and to us today, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk and talk as children of light. If you've seen these flyers for Summerlink, there's loads on your table. Do take them away and invite others in the weeks to come. But you've probably hummed to yourself the Aerosmith song, Walk This Way, Talk This Way. Yeah, you know the one. Well, I was going to use it as an illustration, but unfortunately, the rest of the song is just full of filth and sexual immorality. I don't recommend listening to it. But actually, that's the point. The world walks and talks this way. But Paul is saying, be those who allow God's gracious transformation, graciously transform the way we walk and the way we talk. And as we do so, pray that others would be transformed. So let me pray that for us now before we break for our final discussion. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you great praise this evening for your gracious salvation. Even though we were darkness, you made us light. So we thank you for the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray now, Father, that you will allow us, we will allow you to graciously transform the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk. And as the world around us is consumed by sex and self-indulgence, we pray that our lives will be marked by the light of the gospel. And so we pray that those around us might also be graciously transformed by the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Charlie will pop up just about 8 o'clock to draw our evening to a close. So do make sure that you leave time to pray together. Thank you.